Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do please be seated. And I was glad when they said unto me, they're going to sing Parry. I thought, great, we shall have a joyful noise to raise the rafters. And of course that setting is a setting of a psalm which is at the fruitful climax of pilgrimage. It's a psalm of arrival. It's a psalm of having come at last to the city you've been longing for and praying for. So it's particularly appropriate for the theme we've been pursuing throughout this term of pilgrimage, and perhaps especially appropriate for all of you. I know it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, but it could be, let us go into the house of the Lord where we used to sing his praises at Girton, into his chapel. So I can see, certainly, and speaking to me, you are indeed glad to be back here, and I'm glad to see you again. And I expect for you, in some sense, there is at least some echo of what pilgrimage might mean, simply in your having, as it were, made the pilgrimage back here. So a rapid catch-up on what you've missed, since you haven't been here all term, you know, to let you off. But we've been thinking about pilgrimage as a theme. We looked at first at the whole way in which that archetypal journey through the wilderness, which of course is then recapitulated in Christ's being in the wilderness in Lent, and we remember in Lent, that archetypal journey out of slavery, out of the condition of servitude, down into the fearful waters of the Red Sea, but up again, and then on the brink of the wilderness, looking for that promised land, looking for that promised place, and still with the narrow river of Jordan to cross. We talked about how that had become, over many centuries, a great allegory of the Christian life, that going down into the waters of baptism and being raised again in new life in Christ was like going down into the Red Sea, leaving your sins behind. But of course, you don't come out of the waters of baptism with every problem in life sorted. You still have the wilderness to cross. And we talked about how the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land, does that whole story for us and thinks about the fiery, cloudy pillar leading us through our journey. And when we tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. So we talked about that general notion of life as an accompanied journey to a holy place. And then you won't be surprised to hear, those of you that were here in my time, that we've had a bit of poetry in chapel. And we had a look at pilgrimage in Dante. We had a look at pilgrimage in Chaucer last time. And I talked about how somehow Chaucer managed to combine the high and the low, the holy and the rumbustious, the sacred and the secular in one sort of happy mélange. And his pilgrims were capable, of course, of great jollification, although there was a serious purpose to their journey too. I expect some of that will be true in the jollifications after this service as well. There may be a Chaucerian element. But then I mentioned last time that for a whole variety of reasons to do with a split between outer and inner, between object and subject, developments in the Reformation, that sense of the outer journey became inner. That need for pilgrimage became often expressed in a deep personal private devotion without the person necessarily having all the outward and visible signs. And I wanted to share with you today one of the most beautiful examples of the way in which all the outer signs of pilgrimage have been taken by somebody and made into a transformative inner journey. And that somebody in this case is Sir Walter Raleigh. And I'm really going to let him preach the remainder of my sermon in verse. I'm going to read you his extraordinary poem, The Passionate Man's Pilgrimage, which you have printed in your order of service. I will just say one or two very brief things before I read it to help you. Raleigh, as you may remember, late Elizabethan, 1554 to 1618, was executed. He was beheaded in the Tower. He was accused of being in a plot, which he probably wasn't in, by the accusation of a witness whom he never had the chance to cross-examine. That's why I chose that psalm, by the way. They accuse me of things I know not of. I can't speak to them. I don't know what it is that I'm being accused of. And there's a little group of poems ascribed to Raleigh's last days in the Tower. And this one, as you will see from internal evidence when I read it, was probably written on the eve of his execution. And it's quite extraordinary that amidst what must have been the mood swings, the racing, the panic, the palpitations, the vivid foreshadowing and imagining of what was to happen to him the next day, that he was able somehow to gather everything together and make this extraordinary statement. Not by averting his eyes or not thinking about what would happen to him. Indeed, you'll see there's some very vivid imagery speaking of what will happen. But somehow by facing it. And of all the things that he might have done, he draws upon the very thing that was forbidden in his country by that time. He draws on almost a collective folk memory of the traditional pilgrim. The pilgrim with the scallop shell, it's the sign of pilgrimage, which was the sign of St. James, Santiago de Compostela, and had become the sign of all pilgrims everywhere that they were. The staff of faith, the little script. He kind of creates a figure, and he takes all the faith that he's had in all his life and makes these emblems of his pilgrimage. It's a most remarkable and beautiful thing. And I'll just say as a last thing before I let Raleigh close this and speak that among the many things of which Raleigh was accused in those last days of his life, one of the things he was accused of was atheism. Well, if this is atheism, then I must say Sir Walter Raleigh is my kind of atheist. Let me read you this astonishing poem. The Passionate Man's Pilgrimage. Give me my scallop shell of quiet, my staff of faith to walk upon, my scrip of joy, immortal diet, my bottle of salvation, my gown of glory, hope's true gauge, and thus I'll make my pilgrimage. Blood must be my body's balmer, no other balm will there be given, whilst my soul, like a quiet palmer, travelleth towards the land of heaven. Over the silver mountains, where spring the nectar fountains, there will I kiss the bowl of bliss and drink mine everlasting fill upon every milken hill. My soul will be a dry before, but after it will thirst no more. Then, by that happy, blestful day, more peaceful pilgrims I shall see, that have cast off their rags of clay and walk apparelled fresh like me. I'll take them first to quench their thirst and taste of nectar suckets at those clear wells where sweetness dwells, drawn up by saints in crystal buckets. And when our bottles and all we are filled with immortality, then the blessed paths will travel, strewed with rubies thick as gravel, ceilings of diamonds, sapphire floors, high walls of coral and pearly bowers, from thence to heaven's bribeless hall, where no corrupted voices brawl, no conscience molten into gold, no forged accuser bought or sold, no cause deferred, no vain spent journey, for there Christ is the king's attorney, who pleads for all without degrees, and he hath angels but no fees. And when the grand 12 million jury of our sins, with direful fury gainst our souls black verdicts give, Christ pleads his death, and then we live. Be thou my speaker, taintless pleader, unblotted lawyer, true proceeder. Thou gift salvation even for alms, not with a bribed lawyer's palms. And this is my eternal plea to him that made heaven, earth, and sea, that since my flesh must die so soon and want a head to dine next noon, just at the stroke when my veins start and spread, set on my soul an everlasting head, then am I ready, like a palmer fit, to tread those blessed paths which before I writ. May we also find in time of trial such transformative faith and be strengthened on our pilgrimage.